Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. Let the celebration begin.
Rube, I'm in such a good mood today because the snow is melting away from my house, and I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're in Jersey, so I don't want to hear about it. You probably got like one third the snow that we got. But
I mean, made you live where you live.
Yesterday was like 55. I actually went running in a baseball cap instead of a ski cap for the first time since like November.
It is exciting, and this is also the time of year where we get all the images. I guess it's a little bit less this year because there aren't as many reporters down there, but the first images from spring training are always really exciting. It's like you just see the nice weather and you're like, it's coming eventually. And I feel like that I get seasonal depression. I'm so much happier when I get a little bit of sun.
A lot of people are like that. To me, it's the sounds of spring. Like, have you ever gone to spring training, like Philly spring training in Clearwater?
No, I never have. I always wanted to.
It's amazing. And just like the sound of a ball hitting a glove, a sound of a ball hitting the bat, to me, that's springtime. And it's a great trip. I'll tell you what. I mean, you've been to Clearwater, mm-hmm. I assume, like just on Eagles trips or something. But go down for like a week, and you can go to different games and like nearby and Tampa and up and down the coast. And, you know, then you go to Frenchie's at night for dinner. You're right on the beach. I mean, it's a great place to visit. And you get baseball, and you get Phillies baseball. I love it. I've only done it twice. But man, it's such a great trip. I'd love to do it again.
I'll have to do that one year.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This is Eagle Eye Podcast, so we'll segue from weather and Phillies baseball to a bunch of football topics today. We're going to get into the lack of a combine this year and what it means for the NFL draft. We'll also kind of look back at our combine experiences from years past. It's always an interesting week whenever we're there. We'll take a look at the wide receiver position, what they have left the Eagles, and what they might do this offseason to rectify that situation. And we'll also take a look at, you guessed it, quarterbacks. It's still the biggest topic of the offseason, even with Carson Wentz gone. And that's where we're going to start today because, you know, it's been a week now since the Eagles traded Carson Wentz, and the conversation has shifted from Carson Wentz and will he be traded, when will he be traded, what's the compensation, to now what do they do? I mean, is Jalen Hurts the guy, or do they draft a quarterback? And I think there are reasons for both of those routes, and you wrote about it earlier this week, that it's, you know, the Eagles just put themselves in this position where there's really no clear-cut answer.
Yeah, and I mean, they have 3.5 games to evaluate Jalen Hurts, which is not enough to come to any sort of conclusion. I don't know how many games is enough, but certainly at least half a season, I would think, to really get an idea of what a quarterback's all about, because there are enough high points and enough low points to really to not know. And he's 22, and he's going to get better. But how much better, we don't know. And there's some intriguing quarterbacks who could be there at 6 or higher if they move up, or lower if they move down. And, you know, it comes down to, do you want Jalen Hurts throwing to – I mean, you have a chance to get an elite wide receiver at 6, and would you rather have Jalen Hurts throwing to him along with Rager and Fulgham, or would you rather have one of these hotshot young quarterbacks that you can draft in the first few picks, throw it to the receivers they have? Now, that it's more complicated than that because they're going to add other receivers, but that's what it comes down to. Do you want to give Jalen Hurts a year and say, look, we're gonna surround you with as much talent as we can put together this offseason, which I don't know how much that is considering their track record. But, you know, you say you have a healthy offensive line. We're going to get you Jamar Chase. We're going to get you, you know, Kyle Pitts or whoever it is. We're going to get you a weapon. You know, we're going to surround you. You're going to have a training camp. You're going to have OTAs. You're going to have, you know, everything you need to get you in the best situation. Let's see what you can do over a full season. And you give him that year. And if he's, you know, the answer, then you have your quarterback and a receiver and a weapon. If he's not, presumably, not definitely, but presumably you're picking in the top 10 picks again. Now, I mean, it's a little risky because he could go 8-8. You still don't know about him, and you're picking 16. So there's that possibility. But I think the sense is if it's not working, you can kind of figure out how to get a top 10 pick again and get your quarterback next year. And like you said, there's no real way. I mean, I think it's going to come down to their evaluation of these quarterbacks. I mean, if they think there's a guy they can get, whoever it is, at six or within range where they can get up, who's a franchise guy, if they feel like he's got that shot that Jalen Hurts they're not so sure about, then you draft him. I still think there's a lot to be said for getting a weapon, giving Jalen Hurts a year, seeing what you have, and then you get your quarterback next year if you need to.
Yeah, and another point to that is the pick the Eagles got back for Carson Wentz. I think chances are better than not that that's going to be a first-round pick. So you're going to have that as well. So if you're in a situation where you're outside the top 10 or you're at 9 or 8, you have another chip to throw on the table and move up if that's where you end up. It's tough, though. And I think you're kind of – it sounds like you're leaning toward the idea of if sticking with Jalen Hurts if these guys don't blow you away. And I'm kind of in the same boat. Like,
that's at 11:18 Eastern, but, like, ask me at 4 o'clock. I might be totally, the other way.
I like the idea of giving Jalen Hurts a chance. I saw enough from him last year that I think there's something there. I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league. I don't know if that ceiling's there, but I want to find out what he is. You know, you just drafted him last year. You were willing to alienate your franchise quarterback to draft this kid. And I just want to know, I don't know if that'll ever be worth it, frankly, but I want to know what this kid has. I want to give him that chance. And we know at least he has the leadership qualities. He has some of the intangibles that, you know, if he doesn't become a great quarterback, I think you can still win with him if you surround him with a good team. And I don't know if that's the ideal way to go about this. And I don't think that's the way they look at the quarterback position. Like, I think they want a top guy, but they put themselves in this position. I think you're trying to make the best of it now.
And they had a top guy, they thought, in Carson, didn't win anything. And they had an average guy, Nick Foles, average, if you look at his whole career, and they won a Super Bowl. So there's a lot of ways to skin a cat.
That's not fair.
That's what he is. He's an average quarterback.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that's not fair to Nick, but it's not fair to say they didn't win with Carson.
Well, they didn't. I mean,
they don't win the Super Bowl without Carson.
No, I understand that, but they didn't have long-term, sustained postseason success with Carson Wentz at quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm saying getting the guy that you think is that elite guy isn't a guarantee of anything.
No, and that's – we've seen that before. That's true. But they had an elite quarterback for 13 games, and it put them in a position to go on and win the Super Bowl.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this isn't cut and dry. And the thing is, if you do draft that weapon at 6 and give Jalen a shot, if Jalen doesn't work out, you still have that guy in 2022 with whoever you end up as your quarterback. And you can go into it thinking, you know, we're probably not going to be very good in 2021 anyway, so we may as well find out. I mean, I think everything kind of points that way, but then I go back to quotes like Quarterback Factory, and I just know how enamored, you know, Howie and Jeffrey are of you know, shiny, gleaming new quarterbacks. I mean, that's they love that. And there's some really intriguing ones that are going to be available to them, whether they stay at six or move up. So that's why I keep kind of going back and forth. I think, you know, gun to my head, I would go with Hurts for a year, unless one of these quarterbacks, and there's no combine, which we'll get to, but unless one of these quarterbacks, I'm just completely convinced he's Mahomes or he's, you know, close to that level. Unless I feel that way, totally blows me away. I'm leaning toward going Hurts and get him a weapon and let's see what you have. But we know how these guys think.
Yeah. And the problem here too is that if you think, let's see what we have in Hurts, and the backup plan is to, if it doesn't work out, we'll draft a quarterback next year. You have to look at the 2022 crop of quarterbacks. And from what I've read, I haven't done enough homework on it, but it seems like it's a weaker class for quarterbacks next year. So that plays into it too. I mean, if the Eagles think their best chance to get an elite guy is to draft, pick one, you know, then maybe they would. And I don't know who it would be. That's on them to figure it out. I mean, it's funny because you look at like the measurables and the athleticism, and that guy would be Trey Lance, but I don't, you know, they can't not draft him because of the North Dakota State thing, but it would be poetic in a way.
And I mean, him and Carson are friends, and, or, you know, I know Carson talked about advising him when he was, you know, trying to decide whether he was going to, what do they play, like a one game season, I guess, this year. And I think they played one game, right? North Dakota State.
Well, they had the playoffs, right?
No, I think they just played the one game.
Is that right?
I think the rest of their, I think they had a rest of their season, but I don't, it's either not happened yet or, but I mean, he's not a part of it anymore. He played one game, but anyway, I think if you're the Eagles, you can't let the fact that you drafted Hurts last year. I mean, if you think the best thing to do is get a quarterback and you think that guy is a generational talent, you can't say, well, we drafted Jalen, we can't do it. And you can't say, well, we just drafted a guy 45 years ago from North Dakota State, we can't do it again. You have to do what's best, what you think is best for the long term, no matter how bad it looks. Like, you can't let, you know, previous mistakes, not that Carson was a mistake, but if you're saying drafting Jalen was a mistake, and if you take a quarterback, you're saying that, you know, you can't compound a mistake by not taking a quarterback if you think you have the guy just because you took one last year, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, I mean, the ultimate goal is to get the best quarterback you can get. But I will also say, like, there's a – like, if they look at Jalen Hurts and they say, well, we think Trey Lance or Fields is, like, a little bit better, that's not the bar for me. The bar is not to get a little bit better than Jalen Hurts. The only reason – they should draft a quarterback would be because they think it's the guy. Like, that's our guy. We want him. We'll do whatever we can to get him. Like, if they don't fall in love with a guy, like kind of like they did with Carson 5 years ago, if they don't feel that way about a quarterback, then I wouldn't take one. Because I think if you're willing to take a quarterback at six, you better be willing to move up and take him at two or three or four. But like, because I don't think – you can do that at other positions, I think. You know, wide receiver, you can let it fall to you at six and take the best player if it's wide receiver, fine. I don't think that's a sound strategy for quarterback. I think if you identify the quarterback, and I think this is the way the Eagles think too, if you identify the quarterback, you think this is the guy, you do whatever it takes to get him, and that's the way you handle it.
I would agree with that. I mean, if there's two that you know, you feel are – both generational talents and you feel equally about them, I guess you can see which one drops to you, but I don't think that's the way to do it. Yeah.
Like pepperoni or sausage and
exactly.
Chocolate exactly. Or vanilla, all that BS to how we spouted 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. But I think knowing Howie and being around Jeffrey and Howie for as long as they've been here, I mean, we know how they think, and they will fall in love with one of these guys. They'll fall in love with Justin Fields or Trey Lance. And I think there's a good chance they're going to go that direction. Like I said, I'm leaning the other way, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know. When you look at what Jalen Hurts did this year, I mean, it's really tough to kind of hone in on what they have with him. I know how they think. I think they're going to go. I really think they're going to go quarterback. I really think I wouldn't. I don't think it's a huge mistake. It's all going to come down to how good that guy is, obviously. But again, I think you said this last week. It's like, it's a risk coming back with Jalen because you don't know what he is, but you don't know what these rookies are either because they could be Heath Shuler or Ryan Leaf.
You know, yeah, quarterback's a tough position. I mean, it's more prone to complete busts, really. I mean, we've seen that plenty of times. Are you worried if you're the Eagles about the locker room dynamic? They clearly weren't last year, and it appears to have at least been an issue, a minor issue at the very least, between, you know, quarterback is a position where a guy wants to feel like he's the man. Do you worry about that? If you're the Eagles, you have Jalen Hurts who kind of assumed that role and guys gravitated toward him and the whole team kind of rallied around him. I didn't win much with him, but it felt like the team really kind of got behind. Do you worry about that dynamic?
Well, Twitter tells me I can trade Jalen Hurts for one. So so you draft a guy and you trade Jalen Hurts for a one in 2022. But no, I do worry about that. And it's a concern. And I mean, I don't really worry about Jalen because I think he's a pro and I think he's a true leader. And I think he would be able to function in that environment. But yeah, it's a concern because you don't know about the other guy. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns there, and we just went through that, and I can't imagine they would want to do that again. It's something you have to really consider if you're doing it, and you'd have to consider. I mean, I don't know how much value Jalen Hurts has. I mean, you can't draft him in the second round and a year later trade him for a five. So he'd have to be here. He'd have to be your backup, assuming you start your rookie. If you draft a guy at six, you're going to probably start him.
I think the Eagles realize they're not going to be very good in 21. So maybe they wouldn't just start the rookie. Maybe they'd really have a competition. But in that case, like I think you're right. Jalen would be fine. Jalen would almost welcome it in a way. I think that's the way he's wired. But in that situation, you wouldn't. If you're the Eagles, you wouldn't be as worried about Jalen. Like, you should be more worried about whatever that pick is feeling because you don't want to wreck that. That's your gem. That's what you just spent a first-round pick on. So, you'd have to worry about that if you're the Eagles.
Yeah. You have two quarterbacks. You don't have any quarterbacks, that whole thing. I wonder how much – getting a little off track, but I just wonder how much Jalen's – that mentality he has of embracing the competition and – and we'll hear from Jason Avant in a bit, but just how his mentality, and we've talked to him enough to really get a sense of how professional he is, what a competitor he is, you know, and I wonder how much, like, the more he did that, the more it drove, I don't say drove a wedge between him and Carson, but made the whole thing more awkward because, you know, if you're Carson and he's just not wired that way, it's not who he is. You know, the more Jalen kind of acted like the starter, even before he was starting, acted like the number one, carried himself that way. You could see the young teammates were drawn to him even before he was playing. You know, it almost seems like it was like, you know, like two magnets that just, you know, the closer you get, the more they drive each other away. Not that either magnet is wrong or bad, but they're just so different. And that whole dynamic, you know, when the young guys start being drawn to Jalen Hurts, you know, the whole thing just snowballed. You can see how that could happen. And through no fault really of Carson's, not because that's just not who he is. He's just a different personality.
You mentioned it. So let's actually listen to what John Clark caught up with Jason Avant, who was a coaching intern in the summer, and then he stayed with the Eagles throughout the year. He gave an interesting viewpoint on the whole thing.
I thought that Carson handled it the best way that he could. He never threw a teammate under the bus. And he's a good teammate. There's a narrative that Carson isn't a good teammate. Carson is a very good teammate. He's a very good person. So you wish him the best. Did he play the best? No, he didn't play. He hadn't played well this year. He played historically bad. And guys have years like that. Can he rebound and overcome it? He can. But, you know, he handled it the best way that he could. And I thought that Jalen did as well. The thing that I loved about Jalen during this process is that Jalen never has a backup mentality. And some guys can be offended by that. You never know, because if the backup thinks that he's better than you, you know, that's okay too. You know, you just have to have strong enough skin to be able to deal in that moment as a coach, as an organization, and as the starter. You have to be able to deal with it. And that's the one thing that I'll say about Jalen, is that Jalen has always thought that he was the best quarterback in the room. And he has never said that. He's never come out and said that. But his disposition says that. And if that made Carson uncomfortable, no one knows.
Yeah, sir, that's kind of what you were talking about. And it does beg the question, was that a divisive thing in the locker room that – Jalen showed up and never acted like a backup and kind of always acted like the starter? I think for him, that's just who he is. You wouldn't want him to act differently. You wouldn't want him to be like submissive as a backup quarterback. But you do wonder if that drove a little wedge in the locker room, you know, because you mentioned Carson and Chris Long on his podcast, the Greenlight podcast with Malcolm Jenkins. They talked about Carson's personality too. And it's like, people like Carson. He's a nice guy, but he wasn't always great at developing relationships with everyone in the locker room, whereas a guy like Nick Foles did, and everyone loved Nick. And that's not saying Carson's a bad guy. It's just saying like people were drawn to Nick. And it seems like it was kind of similar with Jalen. Like his teammates, especially his young teammates, were drawn to him. And that's not a bad thing, but if you're Carson, you're probably watching it like, this isn't my team anymore.
Yeah, if you're at a party, all right, I'm at a party, I'm having a good time, I got, like, you know, all the hot girls are hanging out talking to me, and then you show up.
What year is this, by the way?
And then you show up, and all the hot girls go over and talk to you. Like, how am I going to feel? Like, I'm going to feel like, you know, I'm going to feel inadequate. I don't know why couldn't you just go to a different party, Dave? but no, I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, that's just my personality. I mean, you're just more likable than me. So I understand.
I should say, this is my favorite of your stories ever.
But so it's not any flaw. It's not any character flaw, but it's just who Carson is and who Jalen Hurts is. And, you know, you'd think the Eagles would have understood that when they drafted him. They knew Jalen Hurts. They knew what he was all about. They talked about what a competitor he is and how people are drawn to him. And you can't ask him to do anything different. Hey, Jalen, kind of calm it down. Don't act like the starter. I mean, that's his personality. That's his nature. He can't.
And that's his right as a backup in the NFL.
Absolutely,
that's your right to try to take the starter's job. It just is.
Yeah, and then you know, and that's something Carson's never had to do. I mean, he's been a starter his whole life, high school. And, I mean, I guess his freshman year at North Dakota State, I think he was a backup. But I know he's best friends with the starter. But
Brock,
you know,
Jensen?
What's that?
Brock Jensen.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was at the party too, by the way. Once he got there, the girls all left you, went to him. But anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, I think they should have kind of – they should have anticipated that whole dynamic, knowing Carson's personality and knowing Jalen's personality. This is not going to work, you know?
Yeah,
and, it doesn't
totally
mean
right.
Carson's a bad guy. It's just who he is. I don't know if you can have – I mean, I think it's hard for a quarterback to succeed without that. I do. I think it's hard. I mean, we've seen Carson do it for a couple months. I just don't know without really – you know, and Yvonne talked about the relationships and Malcolm and Chris talked about that too, just how, you know, he's a nice guy. Nobody disliked him, but people aren't drawn to him and he doesn't bring that out in people, you know, and I don't, can you be a all-time great quarterback without that, without those qualities? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with examples, but it'd be unfair for me to name them because I don't know the personalities as well as I know Carson. You know what I mean? Like, I think of guys like Philip Rivers, who annoys the hell out of me. I'm sure he annoys the hell out of some other of his teammates, but they all seem to love him. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but you might be right. I think there's something to it. And I think there was a difference between Foles and Hurts because, sure, both guys had that magnetic force that other players kind of gravitated toward, but I don't think Foles was like trying to take Carson's job. Like, that wasn't his mindset, I don't think. Right. But I think it was Jalen's. And I think if you're Carson.
And Foles is older. I mean, he was like, it was a different dynamic.
Yeah, he's a reclamation project when he got to Philly the second time. And he almost thought about retiring. We know that story. Whereas Hurts is a second round pick. He's just starting his career. Like, of course he wants to be a starter.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Interesting stuff. And yeah, like I said, I wonder how much of this they anticipated, you know, when they drafted him, you know, not just is Carson going to like this or not, but just kind of deep down, how's this going to affect the whole dynamic of the locker room? You know, who's Quez Watkins going to be drawn to? As just an example, like, you know, the 28-year-old, you know, veteran guy or the guy who's his age, who speaks his language. And I don't know. It's something they probably should have thought about more.
Yeah, you're right. But look, if Carson played well, none of that matters. I mean, if Carson's out there throwing touchdown passes to Quez Watkins, Quez is going to love him.
Yeah, and I mean, it's probably a bad example because they didn't really play together, but
you know what I mean, though.
But I think there could be a correlation between how he played and how the relationships were going. You know, I mean, he could have been pressing because, you know, I got to have a great game or, you know, I mean, they're already lining up. They all want to play with Jalen. We don't know. We don't know all of this, but I think it's all interconnected. I think the way he played was a direct result, or at least part of it was a direct result of that whole dynamic and what was happening in the locker room and his maybe lack of confidence over his hold on the job.
Yeah, it's fair, and we'll never really know the answer. Only he really – and he might not even know the answer. A lot of it might have been subconscious, but
– he knows the answer.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about that.
Maybe not.
Yeah, because I think there were a lot of factors for his pressing, and I'm not sure he could boil it down to this was this, this was that. But, you know, aside from maybe drafting a quarterback, you look at the Eagles roster right now and they have one quarterback who we know is going to be back. Nate Sudfeld is a free agent. And I don't think anyone really anticipates him coming back. So you have Jalen Hurts, maybe a rookie, but either way, the Eagles are going to need to add a quarterback in free agency. And you kind of presume it would be a backup type who maybe pushes Hurts. And I put together a list of five guys. I figure we can kind of just go through them quickly and you can tell me if there's one that you really like, or maybe there's one that I missed. But I think it starts with Tyrod Taylor just because he has a connection to Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator. And, you know, he's a fringe starter, right, in the NFL. He's been a starter. He's never been a great starter. He's probably the level of player we're talking about here. So the guys I listed were Tyrod Taylor, Jacoby Brissett, who obviously has a history with Sirianni, Brian Hoyer, who does as well, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's 38, and Andy Dalton, who's 33. I think that's like the range of player we're talking about here.
Yeah, those are good names. I mean, Brissett makes the most sense. I mean, he's not awful. He's been a starter, not a great one, but he's got that experience. I've always liked Tyrod Taylor. He's a smart guy. He'll be a coach one day. You know, he goes out and just does his job. He doesn't try to do too much. I've always liked the way he plays, gets the most out of his ability. I think that's a good name. You know, Hoyer is along those same lines.
He's like I think of those five players, he's the less talented of all.
Yeah, and you have to take money into account too, and he'll be the cheapest as well.
You would assume,
you know, a guy like Ryan Fitz. I mean, at this point in his career, I don't know you know, he might be at the point where he needs a certain amount of money to keep playing. I mean, I you would think he's not going to play for minimum. So they're not really in a position to go out and pay a backup quarterback a ton of money. And backup quarterbacks tend to make some money. And that might be the case for Tyrod too, because he's a guy who probably get a job somewhere. You know, a guy like Brissett, a guy like Hoyer, you know, I could see those guys coming here at a lower, you know, with a lower salary, especially Hoyer. But you do want a guy who can go in and you know, win you a game, get you through a game, whatever, not embarrass himself. And certainly we've seen backups here do that. Vince Young's available, right? Is he out there? But I think those guys make sense. You know, a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick is, you know, he's had so much success and fairly recently. I'm not sure. Yeah, you have to wonder about that dynamic, yeah. You know.
He was pretty good last year, honestly.
Yeah, he was pretty good last year. I think one of the younger guys is probably more likely. I mean, they've all been around. None of them are kids. But I think if it was up to me, Tyrod Taylor would be my top choice out of that group. For all things considered. But I think Jacoby Brissett's probably, I mean, the franchises are trading each other. You know, they're like basically trading.
Sudfeld goes to Indy. Brissett comes here.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Doug Peterson goes over and coaches, becomes like a consultant or something for Frank. I mean, everything else is happening. But, yeah, so I think that makes sense. They're going to need somebody like that. And,
side note, did you see Doug's houses for sale?
I did. Yeah.
In Morristown. It's the funniest thing because, someone sent me the Zillow listing and it has no mention of Doug Peterson, but one of the photos is of his office and both Lombardis are just sitting there.
Yeah. So,
you have I think 2.7 mil lying around. You can go and, purchase that house.
Morristown's nice. Good high school.
Yeah.
Group three. But yeah, that's, I wonder where Doug's going to wind up next. It's going to be interesting.
It will be. I wonder what he's going to do now. I wonder where he's going to live because, I mean, he was living here and he's clearly not going to if he sells the house.
Unless he's going to rent a place in Edgewater Park or something. yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's from Washington.
Yeah, which is why when the Seahawks job was a possibility, I wondered if that wouldn't be perfect for him.
Yeah. Bellingham's a great town. Have you ever been to Bellingham, Washington?
I have not.
We were out there for a Seahawks game, and I took a train up. It's incredible. The train goes right up the coast and from Seattle to Bellingham. And there's one train a day each way, and it's like a luxury train. Like you have your own little cabin and stuff. It's really cool. Mm. It's a beautiful ride. So you stay on the left side on the way up for the ocean, but there's mountains on the right side. You know, you figure out which view you want. But and it takes you right to Bellingham, and Bellingham's got like it's right on a lake on a lake, Lake Bellingham, and there's a trail that goes along the lake and actually goes across the water, like it's like over the water for a while. And it's a beautiful spot, man. I could live in Bellingham, Washington. So I went out there and I hiked around. I went and visited the college. Western Washington is out there in Bellingham. And got a T-shirt at the bookstore. And found a bar like in the middle of nowhere, this like bar that had the Villanova Temple game on. So I sat there in Bellingham, Washington, watching Villanova Temple.
And that's the perfect day for you. Get on a train, go watch a college basketball game and drink a beer.
And I found like the greatest coffee shop in the world, like right on the water with a view of the mountains and unsweetened iced tea. And then there's like one train back at like 6 o'clock at night. And I got on the train. You can walk like from downtown to the train. It was awesome. Yeah. Bellingham, Washington. And I that Monday I told Doug I'd visited Bellingham. I wore my Bellingham hoodie. I'll wear it for our next podcast. And that's my story about Bellingham. There's really no ending to it.
Okay. But, well, we'll just segue to what do you think about Cam Newton? He was a name that got tossed back to me after I put out my initial list. And I didn't put Cam on there. I thought about him. I just don't know what Cam Newton is right now. And I didn't watch a ton of Patriots last year.
I'm not – I would go that direction. I think – I think Cam's either a starter or I wouldn't want him. I just don't think he's – I like Cam, and I mean, I think, you know, I think there was a lot of circumstances going on with Cam last year that affected him. I mean, he had pretty bad COVID, and he, you know, I mean, I know it affected him a lot of the year. I mean, he didn't look great when he played, but it's not the direction I would go. I'd want like a career backup. I want a guy who's kind of accepted his role as a backup, understands what he is, and is willing to accept that role and be as good as he can in that role.
Okay. I mean, the competition between Jalen Hurts and Cam Newton would be fun, though, wouldn't it?
It would be fun, but I just don't think that's what's best for – I don't think that's what's best. I think if you don't draft a guy, I don't want to – I don't. If you don't draft a quarterback, I don't want the other quarterback to be a guy that's competing with Jalen Hurts. I want Jalen's your job. You know, the other guy's job is going to be to work with Jalen and – get him going. And
then you're kind of threading the needle a little bit there too, because you want someone who's good enough to win you games, but not good enough that when you're watching training camp to go, oh crap, Tyrod Taylor's better. I mean, yeah. I don't know if that would happen, but that'd be a fear, right?
It's a fine line, but but I think it's also part of it's a mentality. Like, I think some backups understand, like when Nick Foles is a backup, like even though we've seen him have great success, I think he understands his role and he's okay with it. I mean, obviously he wants to start, but I mean, Cam Newton's been like, he's been an MVP. He's played in a Super Bowl. I'm not sure that would be the perfect dynamic.
Yeah, I get that.
But who would your guy be?
Yeah, it'd probably be Tyrod. For a few reasons. One, because I think he'd be like the right level of competition, and because he's not as much of a dual threat, I don't think, right now as Jalen is, but you'd have the same offense, you know, if he's in there. And I think that's something you have to think about with a dual threat quarterback is, and we saw it last year with the Eagles when they made the switch from Carson to Jalen, like they had to kind of flip everything they were doing and change on the fly. I like the idea of not having to do that as much. You can have a lot of the same staples in your offense.
Tyrod Taylor, number one in NFL history in best interception ratio, by the way.
Is that right?
Does not throw picks. Hey, Eagles fans, time to look forward to your dream vacation. The Philadelphia Eagles fan cruise tickets are selling out quickly. The ship sails just about a year from now, March of 2022, for 7 days and 7 nights with Eagles fans and only Eagles fans. Book your tickets today at PhiladelphiaEaglesCruise.com.
Ruben, I want to talk about the combine, but first, receivers. We mentioned the possibility of them drafting one. I think even if they don't draft from the first round, they'll probably take one at some point, because you look at what they have right now, and Deshaun's already gone. Alshon's going to be gone. We'll see what happens with Marquise Goodwin, but it's a really young group. It's a group with Greg Ward being the most veteran of the bunch. There's some talent there, I think, but I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, and I kind of put Marquise Goodwin in another category because, I don't know what's going to happen with him. I don't even know if they want him here. He's certainly not going to be here at that $4 million-plus number. So they would have to do some things there just to get him, bring him back. But as far as the other guys, Travis Fulgham has had the best single season of any of them, and that was all in 5 games. So, you know, there's really question marks about every single one. And, you know, obviously Goodwin's in that category, and there's no sure thing in this group. Whether it's Greg Ward, who catches the ball, and he's a nice player, but he's limited with his size and his speed. We know that. And all these guys, I mean, I don't know who Jalen Reagor is going to be. You know, you hope he takes a big jump in year two, but I don't know that. Fulgham, I don't know what they have in Fulgham. I don't think anybody does. You know, guys like Quez and Hightower did some nice things. I kind of think Quez is going to be pretty good. I think he might, you know, I liked what I saw from him. It was very, you know, small sample size, but there's question marks about every one of them. So it's a young group. It's an inexperienced group. It's a group that doesn't have much of none of them have much of a resume, and, you know, whatever, I mean, they're really in a bind because they don't have the money to sign anybody of note. if they draft a guy, that means they're not getting a quarterback that they might want. If they get a guy in the second round, could be J-Jaw. So, and I think part of fans' fear about this is the guy that's going to pick the wide receivers is the guy that picked J-Jaw over DK Metcalf and Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. And that worries people, and I understand that.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, last year in free agency, I think how we kind of regretted not being in on the receivers, the way it kind of worked was they had their lump of money they wanted to spend, and there was kind of like a standoff with the receivers, and eventually the price tag really dropped, but it was well after he had already put the money in the Javon Hargrave and some other pieces. So by the time, you know, the price tag dropped for guys like Rashad Perriman and not that he was, you know, great last year, but like by the time those prices dropped, Robbie Anderson, by the time they dropped, they'd already spent their money. This year, they don't have to worry about that. They don't have any money to spend,
right?
At least not yet. I put together a list of good.
No, I was just going to say, you look at the kind of veteran wide receivers, the low budget free agents that they've signed, and I mean Mike Wallace's and the Kamar Akins and the, you know, Marcus Wheatons and the Reuben Randles. I mean, none of these guys have even played for this team, and you know, I get that they weren't big money free agents, but you know, it's not just drafting wide receivers. I mean, they just haven't been able to find them. And, you know, you would think some of those kind of budget guys would pan out a little bit, but it's been a series of missteps with wide receivers.
Yeah, it has. And you kind of wonder if that's evaluation or coaching or what's going on there. But I put together a list of five guys. I'll run them off to you, and you let me know if there's a name that kind of hits you. Tyrell Williams, Josh Reynolds, Zach Pascal, who's restricted. They'd have to wait for that. Keelan Cole, Zay Jones. It's not, you know, it's kind of an underwhelming list, but that's the situation they're in right now. I mean, they don't have money to spend on a Will Fuller or one of the top guys. This is what they have available to them. I don't even know if they have – some of these guys might be out of their price range, frankly.
Right. That's true. Honestly, I'd rather see Quez Watkins than those guys. I'd rather see Travis Fulgham, see if he can get him, you know, locked in as a consistent player in the league, because he's got some tools and we've seen them. You know, we've seen him play at a high level for a short amount of time. Hightower, I don't know. I don't know what's there, but, you know, at least I'd like to see all those guys ahead of, you know, a guy that's 27, 28, 29 that you just don't know what you're getting. I'd like to see these young guys get a shot. And yeah, like you said, the money might not even be there for that level of guy. So I think they'll draft a couple more. Reagor to me is the key to this whole thing. I don't know. I don't know if he's any good. You know, we didn't really see a lot from him. When he did play, I mean, he was hurt. Kind of gets a pass. I know it was a tough year for him. He was hurt a couple times. He was behind. When he did play, he was okay. It wasn't a whole lot there. He didn't look comfortable. I don't think he looked – he never looked comfortable to me. He never looked like he fit in. Like Quez went in there, and I'm not saying Quez is better than Jalen Reagor, but when he went in there, he just – there was a certain presence about him where he looked like he belonged. He looked comfortable, and he was able to kind of transform that into playmaking. I never saw that from Reagor. He never looked like, you know, he was comfortable working against corners. He just didn't seem to – it was his timing. His route running wasn't great. There were plays he gave up on. Just never looked right to me.
Yeah, I think there was probably a level of comfort he didn't achieve, and he wasn't playing fast because of it. So you hope if you're the Eagles in year two, that will come a little more naturally. And I think he probably was pressing a little bit because there were a lot of high expectations and he was hurt, and he knew he missed time, and he knew.
And you kept asking about Justin Jefferson.
Pitching the ball. Yeah. So I don't know. And the way they might be looking at Marquise Goodwin is like, hey, we're looking at these free agents. We don't want to pay another guy. He's already in the building. If he agrees to restructure and come way down, at least we can keep him and have some sort of veteran presence. And we're taking a chance on any of these other receivers. We might as well take a chance on a guy who's already here.
Yeah. And again, Goodwin, I know he had 962 yards in 2017. That's the only year he's ever had. He's been in the league since 13. Was he a third round pick? Yeah. I think so. But his career has been huge disappointment. And, you know, his other 6 years, he's averaged 228 yards. And the last 2 years, not including last year, but the last 2 years he played, 18 and 19, he had 35 catches total. So the notion that you can count on him to be anywhere close to what he was, it'll be 4 years ago by the time, you know, by the time we're out there. I just think he's a long shot to ever contribute to this team.
I get that, but anyone they would sign probably be a long shot too. So if we're talking about bargain bin options, he's one of them in a list, and at least there's some familiarity, you know, he's at least met the position coach. I don't know. Maybe there's something there.
Has he?
He's talked to him, I'm sure. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah. Before we wrap this up, we're going kind of long. I wanted to mention, and we wanted to talk about the combine a little bit, because there is no combine this year. It's kind of a weird deal. Really, that was the last time things felt normal, was the combine last year. I remember being out there. It was the last time I flew anywhere. And we had heard about COVID at that point, and there was like, I, you know, in passing, some NFL people were talking about it, you know, but it was almost like, not a joke then, but like, hey, you know, elbow bump because we can't shake hands. But, you know, I never thought that everything would go crazy after that. But not having a combine is a big deal for a lot of reasons. That everyone looks at the testing portion of the combine, and that's a big deal. That means a lot. But the interview process, and really, I mean, the biggest one to me is medical. One of the main reasons they hold the combine in Indianapolis is the medical facilities, and not having a standard way for teams to get medical information about a player specifically. And also because there are no in-person visits this year. So if the Eagles want to bring Ja'Marr Chase to Philly, they can't do it. That's a big problem, because any player with medical concerns, you can't check out.
Right. And I think it's going to really hamper teams' ability to evaluate players. Now, the Eagles' ability to do that has been hampered anyway, so maybe it won't hurt them as much. But no, in all seriousness, it's a big blow. And, you know, this is where Howie talks to agents about, you know, that's where you get contracts done and extensions.
This is where the tampering happens.
That's where all the tampering happens. And, you know, I think and Howie will tell you that the interview part of the combine is every bit as important to them as the actual workouts.
You know, especially if they're thinking about drafting a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you want to get them on the whiteboard and work them and see his retention. And so you don't have that. So
the work they did with Carson 5 years ago was really detailed at the combine.
Off the charts, yeah.
I mean, they brought in a sports psychiatrist, or a psychologist rather, to talk with him for like an hour. I mean, they went in depth, and you would think they'd want to do that again if they're going to use another top pick.
Yeah, and they, I mean, whoever they end up taking, they can't do that. It's tough. And the pro days, I mean, I guess all the pro days are going to be structured the same, so, you know, every player has the same, and I think they're going to be a little more involved, you know, to give teams as fair and as in-depth as possible a look at each player, but it's not the same. It's definitely not the same. But there's certainly going to be a lot more eyes on the pro days, I think, because that's all these guys are going to have. You know, yeah.
It was great that the Senior Bowl was able to happen. I mean, that's a big deal. So credit to them for figuring out a safe way to do it, because that's another big part of the evaluation process. And You feel for players who are going to get overlooked because of a lot of unknowns this year.
Yeah. What do you like about the combine? How many have you been to? Four or five?
Six or seven, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been to a few. I mean, it's a long week. It's a grind. And this is not me complaining about it. It just is, because you're covering the prospects during the day. And honestly, you're out at night trying to bump into people. And it's fun for that reason. Like, it's, you know, last year I got to sit down and chat with Doug Peterson for, you know, quite a while, just because we happened to be at the same watering hole. And, oh, hey, Doug, how you doing? And that's, you know, you don't get that anywhere else, because the NFL is such a guarded league, and it's a more relaxed atmosphere, and you get to build relationships at the combine. That's what it's there for, really, for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I did about five or six of them, and I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I like Indianapolis more than you do, just because everything's so kind of close together.
Yeah, I don't like the actual city.
You're going to run into people. I remember running into – a bunch of us were going to meet Derek Boyko, a bunch of beat writers, for lunch. And there's John Harbaugh. It was right after they won the Super Bowl. There's Harbaugh walking down the street, the main street there. And I was like, nobody had any idea who he was. He had like a – it's always colder. He had a big ski cap on. I stood there and talked to him for 10 minutes, and not one person recognized him, had any idea. The guy just won a Super Bowl. But what I remember Jason Light coming up to me after his interview. You know, they bring all the GMs, and he was with, I guess he was with the Colts at that time. He comes over, he's like, "Rube, how you doing? Like, let's go get a cup of coffee." I'm like, Jason Light didn't talk to me barely talked to me the whole time he was with the Eagles. But like, there's something about being at the combine where everybody lets their guard down, and you know, you can really get to know some of these guys in a way that you really never have a chance to anywhere else. And I mean, I told the story before about how Andy Reid didn't talk when his last several years with the Eagles, he didn't talk at the combine. And I remember one morning, I just texted him. I said, "Hey, you know, do you have a few minutes today? Because there's a lot going on." And he's like, "Yeah," he's like, "meet me in the lobby of the hotel." He said, like, meet him in the lobby, and me and Boyko and Andy go up to Andy's hotel room for an hour, you know, for an interview. I mean, that stuff doesn't happen. And there's just something about the combine that whoever it is, they just, you know, you just let their guard down, and they'll tell you stuff that they won't tell you anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is, but I like it. I just like being there and being around and just kind of meeting the young players and just seeing how wide-eyed they are at the whole thing and, you know, getting a sense for them. And then you wait for any player to make any reference to the Eagles, you know, and it's like, oh, I got a story, you know. You know, you wait for some guy to just stand up there and say, "Yeah, you know, the Eagles talk to me. They seem really interested." That's all you need. It's like, you got your main bar for the next for that day. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Hopefully by next year we have a normal combine, and I can show you the sights and sounds of Indianapolis that you've been missing all these years.
The sights and sounds of Indy. Yeah, it's an interesting city. It's a small downtown. I try to get away from it's funny, after you're there for like a week, you want to get away from NFL for a little bit. So I'll go to there's a little sushi place, and I'll just hide in there for an hour and eat dinner. But it's well worth it. My favorite memory from Indy was when Howie won the coin flip for the 14th draft pick in 2017. That was his celebration for that was epic.
Yeah. I remember that. Howie loved me. He loves being on. I remember Howie at the combine I think I was in the office. You were out there after they just won the Super Bowl like a month earlier. And man, he was just like, he was reveling in the congratulations and the, you know, he was in his element. It hasn't gone so well since then, but
it has not.
Yeah.
All right. You got anything else before we wrap this up?
No, I will see you at the combine next year.
Yeah, that will be great. If you enjoy the Eagle Eye podcast, please rate and subscribe wherever you get your pods. If you're watching on YouTube, please click like and subscribe there as well. We'll be back with you again next week. For Rube, I'm Dave. This has been Eagle Eye. We'll talk to you soon.